Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I'm going to share a little bit of a word that God put in my heart just this week, and I'll share that toward the end of my message this morning as a word of encouragement to us. I believe that the Lord has been speaking in my heart, and it's exciting. We have, if you're just joining us this morning, we have been in a series the last few weeks called Hearing God. And I want to invite you to take out your outline this morning if you have one in your bulletin and just follow along. It was yesterday or maybe in the last couple of days, though, I just sensed a whisper from the Lord speaking to me and to pass this on to you as we begin this talk this morning, that this is not just another sermon series, all right? What we're talking about is a way of life. You know how a lot of times I would say every sermon series that we go through, every time we preach the Word of God, should always be about a way of life. But I just want us to be very careful that we don't have this idea that we're doing something for a few weeks, and then we'll just kind of move on to something else. I really feel that this is a word that God's putting in our heart right now to share together corporately, and then there's those who are following up with the practicum on Wednesday nights. And so I hope that this is just something that can land in your heart well, that when it comes to hearing God, when it comes to hearing His voice, this isn't just something that we, you know, listen to for a few weeks, but it's a way of life that God is calling us to. And so the last couple of weeks, we've looked at, just as a bit of a review, how God still speaks today. And we're absolutely convinced that God is a speaking God, and the challenge is that we would be a hearing people. We're looking at how the Bible is no ordinary book, that the Word of God is God-breathed, it's God-inspired, it's Hebrews 4 and verse 12 in your notes. We see again how that it's a word that's active and it's alive. It's a word that has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we've been learning along the way too is how that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to hear and understand God's Word. And what we're going to do this morning is, for a few minutes, look at two different ways that God speaks to us through the Bible. We spent a little time elevating the value of the Scriptures a couple of weeks ago, but today we want to just touch on it a little more specifically. The Bible, right from the beginning, again, I want to say, is the primary way that God speaks to us, all right? Next week, we're going to look at some other ways, and it's going to be fun. We're going to explore some other ways that God actually speaks to us. Outside of Scripture, always needs to be in alignment with Scripture, but we're going to see how God does speak in other ways. And so those two ways that, and you might want to write this down this morning, those two specific ways that God speaks to us, first of all, is universally. God has a word. When you read the Bible, God has a word that applies to everybody. It's not just you cherry pick what God has to say, and that's for you, and that's for someone else, whatever. There's elements of God's word that is for us universally. It's a word for everybody. The second thing that we're going to talk about this morning is how that God also has things for us that are of more personal nature, where God speaks to us in regards to maybe a specific message that He has for us. And I'll say a little bit more about this later. Something that's for a specific situation or a specific time. And so just to kind of help understand this whole idea of a universal word and a personal word that we see in Scripture, some of you probably know this, and you could probably teach on this far better than I can. But there's two words in our English Bibles that are actually Greek words that have been translated word. And those two Greek words, the first word is the word logos, which means word. The second word, which we'll get to in a few minutes, is the word rhema. Two Greek words, but basically say the same thing, but have different meanings. Now let me ask you this question, all right, as we begin. What is it that we use words for? Think about it. Think about how we use words. If I was to describe a mountain to you, I could say, you know, I'll give you a little illustration in a minute here. Let's say I'm coming across the prairies and I'm telling the people in the car who've never seen a mountain, say, we're going to come upon some mountains shortly. Have I said very much to them about that? Mountains. No. But if I was to use words like we're going to be coming along the highway shortly, and all of a sudden on the horizon you're going to begin to see hills beginning to rise in front of you. You're going to begin to see these gigantic, beautiful, majestic, snow-covered, glacier-filled things that we call mountains on the horizon. You see how the words begin to change how we see something. Words, basically words are pictures, right? That's what songwriters do. I think I looked at Aaron there for a moment. Songwriters often are trying to create pictures through words and song. Words help us to describe a picture or a thought. We use adjective words. And the reality is sometimes our words are not enough. Have you ever written something to someone or said something to them and said, you know what, I wish I could describe this better. Words are just not enough. Have you ever said that before? You understand what I'm saying. So getting back to our prairie trail, I remember when we used to live in Saskatchewan and we decided to take our kids, our little boys, on a road trip. I think we were going to Expo 86. We were living in Saskatchewan, and back in 1986, we decided to load up the van and head off to Expo 86 in Vancouver. Our kids had never seen the mountains before. They were just all little guys. We had four little boys, all under the age of six. And it was quite an adventure, let me say, to go on this road trip. And I remember we talked to them about the mountains, and we said we were going to be going through the mountains. And they were kind of excited about something they had never seen, and they really had a hard time visualizing it, but we tried to explain it to them with words and so on. And as we got into the foothills of the mountains, our little son, Jonathan, who was only 4 years old at the time, he'd been sleeping up till now. And then as we began to come into the foothills, and as we began to approach the Rockies, Jonathan began to wake up, and we said, Jonathan, guess what? We're coming into the mountains. And his eyes kind of popped open. And back in those days, kids didn't have car seats because they had the free reign of the van, and they could run around and do whatever they wanted. That was great to be a kid back in those days. And so he pops up to the front window, and he begins to look out over the window, and he said, "There's a mountain!" And he got all excited. He had seen his very first mountain. And then all of a sudden he looked and he said, "There's another one." And then there's another one. And all of a sudden, what we had tried to describe, all of a sudden he was now experiencing this beautiful thing that we love around here, mountains. And so it's really interesting, though, how that God has given to us pictures, and God has given to us his word to express himself. We live in a world today, the world of Facebook and Instagram and other kinds of social media types of things, which are very image-driven. How many would agree that a picture is worth 1,000 words? They say that, right? And God in many ways is the same way. It's funny, it was my birthday a week ago, and I got this card that was sent to me in the mail from my sister who lives in the States, and it was a picture of Jesus with his Twitter account, and it's a picture of Jesus, and it says Jesus on Twitter, and he's looking at his Twitter account, and he says, "I got 12 followers, sweet." you know? And it was, you'd have to see, it was pretty cool. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, how would Jesus relate to all this stuff today? But the reality is, Jesus, or God, is a God who loves to communicate to us. He wants us to be able to see who he is. He wants us to understand who he is. And so he has chosen to communicate to us with words and pictures. And so this word logos simply means word. And God has chosen to communicate to us through the word. But let's look at this. Look at it. There's a scripture in John chapter 1 that I want to use this to begin with to illustrate. John chapter 1, verse 1, a scripture that many of you are probably familiar with. Let's look at it together. It says, in the beginning was the word. And that word translated is logos. It's a Greek word. And the word was with God. And the word, logos, was God. It's kind of, in some ways, maybe strange language for us to use. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Now, some of you probably, Bible scholars, will know exactly the answer to this. But let me ask the question. Who is the word here? Who is being spoken of here as the word? Jesus. Absolutely. That's the correct answer. Jesus here is the word. In the beginning, this scripture is actually referring to Jesus. You could actually insert the word, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. It kind of speaks to his divinity. Jesus was not just someone created by God. Jesus wasn't created by God. Jesus is God. Jesus was with God in the very beginning. And Jesus is God, was God, still is God. But to help us better understand who God really is, what did God do? He gave us Jesus, correct? He gave us Jesus. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14 in your notes there. It says, and the word, Jesus, God, became flesh and lived among us. And this basically, this all points to the fact that God wanted to express himself, and he wanted humanity, his creation, to begin to get a picture of who God really is, who God really is. And so what did he do? He gave us Jesus, and he gave us this wonderful, beautiful picture of who God is through his son, Jesus Christ. And look at Hebrews chapter 1 in your notes. It says, and I think the scripture is on the screen as well. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. God has spoken to us through his Son. And so, basically, when we think of Jesus, what do we think about? We think of one who came, who was very loving, very compassionate, filled with grace, forgiveness. We're going to be celebrating this morning with communion at the end of our service today. We think of how Jesus was very supernatural and powerful and could do amazing things. Jesus became an expression of who God is. And so, he kind of put a picture of what God is like. In fact, Jesus one time actually said, if you've seen me, what did he say? He says, if you've seen me, you've actually seen the Father. Which is pretty amazing to think about. Jesus came to be basically to be able to demonstrate what God is really like. And so he became the Logos, the word that was filled with a picture and a demonstration of himself. And so that's one way Logos has been expressed, through Jesus. The rest of the time, that word Logos, that Greek word for word, God is expressing himself through the Bible, through the scriptures. And this is where we come back to this whole reality that God, through the scriptures, it's a way that God speaks to us, speaks to everybody. How many would agree this morning that the Ten Commandments is not something that was just chosen for a handful of people, but the reality is the Ten Commandments, the Logos, the Word of God spoken through the Ten Commandments, was something that was given to all of us. It's something for everybody. The Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, was given to everybody. It's the Logos word for everybody. Jesus didn't say, it's okay if some of you don't love your enemies. Now, how many, I think you'd all agree, there's a lot of us that would say, you know what, I'd just soon avoid that one, right? I think there are times when we are faced with having to deal with that one on a regular basis. But the reality is that the Word of God, the Logos element of God's Word, is written for everybody. And so God has expressed himself through Jesus, the living Word. That's one way Logos has been expressed. Secondly, God has expressed himself through the Scripture. Someone said once that the Bible is God's love letter to you. Aren't you glad that God has given us this beautiful, wonderful love letter that's is contained in these wonderful books from Genesis right through to Revelation? Someone said that the Bible has hope on every page. I love that. That the Word of God is God's living Word. Jesus was living Word. Jesus was God expressing himself through Jesus, and now we see how the Bible is God expressing himself through the written Word, which is for everybody. And so God speaks to us through the Bible. And that's why we cannot, when we deal with this whole subject of hearing God, we cannot ignore the Bible. Someone said that trying to hear God without the Bible is a dangerous cocktail. A lot of people would say, you know, I just let me chill out. Let me just zone out. Let me just listen to God. I'll just hear God. I'll just get, you know. And the reality is, if you do not spend... if we don't spend regular time in the Bible, in the Word of God, the Logos, the universal Word, don't even begin to ask to hear God. Because God, it's a dangerous place to be hearing God without the Word of God, without the Logos part of God's Word. And so I hope we'll come back to that in the future again. And so Logos is the Word, is Jesus in the Word. It's the Scriptures in the Word. The second Greek word that we see translated Word is the word rhema. Logos is the word where God's Word is for everybody. The second element, the second Greek word is rhema, which is a different word. It's a word that God gives to you personally. And this is where it gets to be fun. Because God has a personal word oftentimes for us that we can enjoy and experience and benefit from. And so basically what happens, this is where we talk about the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes those general universal words to become very personal words. And there's times when you are reading the Bible, and I know that many of you have had this happen to you, times when you're reading the Scripture, when all of a sudden that universal word that's intended for everybody, all of a sudden just explodes in your heart and it becomes very, very real and very, very personal to you. Let me give you an example. Ray Dirksen, who's kind of part of the behind this Hearing God ministry and series and so that we've been doing it, he uses a great example. It would be like me saying something like this to you as a congregation. You know what? I just want you to know, this is from my heart, Pastor Dave, to you, is that I just want you to know how much I love you. I really do. I love you guys. I really do. I really love you guys. And now how many would say that comes across kind of as a universal word, right? If my wife was sitting here, I think she's in the nursery this morning, if my wife was sitting here on the front row, she would just kind of go, Dave's just, he's just a loving kind of guy, and he just wants everyone to know how much he loves them, and cool, that's good. Would she be included in that word, though, if I said that? Would she be included as part of that universal I love you? Absolutely. Now, it would be a little different, though, if I was to just kind of say, just excuse me for a moment, and I went down into the front row, and I was to say to Barb, you know what? I leaned over to her and I whisper in her ear and give her a little nibble on the ear or whatever, and just say something like, you know what, honey? I just wanted to say how much I love you. Well, all of a sudden, guess what's going to happen? Her heart's going to start pounding. She's going to, she's going to get excited. Her hands are going to start to sweat. You know, like, it's going to be awesome. Suddenly, that, you know, it's just funny. It's the same three words, right? I love you. But you know when, you just know that when that word goes from a universal word to a word that is very personal. And Barb knows the difference. She is going to know the difference. There's going to be times, and God is like that. There's going to be times when you have that universal logos word, and then there's those times when, like speaking to my wife, it becomes like a rhema word. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And that's kind of the picture here we have when it comes to these two different ways that we, same scripture, but there's going to be times when that word just suddenly explodes in your heart and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you directly about something for a specific time in a specific situation. And so I want to encourage you this morning to begin to look at scripture. That's why one of the things that we're teaching in our practicum is we're encouraging people when they are reading the Bible to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to say to me through this? And what it does is it actually causes the scripture to come alive. That's why a lot of people, the reality is a lot of times people find the Bible boring. And if I were to ask you to raise your hand, some of you would say, yeah, I can relate to that. And the reason the Bible oftentimes is boring is because we're not giving time and space where we're actually asking the Holy Spirit to actually, would you speak to me today through your word? Would you cause something in that word to actually touch me exactly where I'm at? We don't have a lot of time here this morning, but I want to just end with a couple of quick stories. One from a long time ago, and one from just this past week that actually came out of our Wednesday night practice sessions with this series. The first one would go back into the fall season of 1982. We planted a church in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, and we had spent about five and a half years there. And it was around the five-year mark. This little church that started with eight people, and I shared a bit of this story a couple of weeks ago in the Wednesday night practicum, but I'll share it with all of you. A little church had grown from about eight people, and by now it was about 80 people. And we had some interesting, very challenging, it was difficult times. I relate to our young gals. By the way, Claire and Cassie, thanks for sharing with us today. It was awesome, really. And just pray for these guys. They are in a sense bivocational missionary. They're having to do work along the side to support themselves. They're tent makers, all that kind of thing. Just Kingfisher. I wish I would have had a job like that. But you know, when we were planting this church, I worked full time, and for a number of years, I worked full time. I drove school bus, worked in construction. They were some tough times, and it was years before we actually drew a salary from that little church. And so I totally get it, that whole idea of having to do this on your own. And so along the way, though, we received an invitation to go to a neighboring community, a place called Canwood, Saskatchewan. Some of you maybe have been there, a little small town, to be their pastor. And this was a great church, and it had a long history. They had a house to live in, they had a salary, and they had all kinds of things that sounded pretty good. And we just thought maybe this would be a great opportunity. We were young rookie pastors and didn't have a whole lot of experience with anything, and we thought maybe going to another place would be really, really helpful. But we were still very, very committed to where we were. We were very committed to this little church. It was kind of our baby. We'd helped birth it. We'd helped to see it rise up from the ground up to where it was that day. And so one morning, we were, you know, this church had contacted us. We were really praying, we said, you know what, thanks for the invitation. We will pray about this. We will ask God for his direction. And so as we began to pray, it was one particular morning, I was conflicted in my heart. I came to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, where the Bible said, and I was reading it, it said, stand firm, let nothing move you, but always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so I found that scripture to be very encouraging. Like, you know, what you're doing is good. It's hard, it's not easy, but it's good. But it was the words that just, as I use the word exploded, it was the words, let nothing move you, that just literally exploded in my heart, grabbed my heart. It was like God grabbed me around the neck and said, you're not going anywhere. And it was like, I knew. It was a very specific word. It was a logos word that in many ways became a rhema word, where it became very, very personal. And I knew God was saying, it's not time for you to move. You are to stay where you are. And so we just said, okay, we're not done. We're still here. And so we contacted the church and said that we didn't feel that God had released us from that community. Well, a few months went by, and we actually, again, began to, maybe we started hearing these little whispers from the Lord, and we started thinking. We started wondering, I wonder what's happening in Kenwood, Saskatchewan. And then, I don't know how it was, but we eventually heard that this congregation was still open, and we had this thought go through our mind, wondering, what does that possibly mean? Is it possible that maybe this is something that we should perhaps consider again? I think it was 3 or 4 months later that we began to get this. And so all of a sudden, we felt our heart was kind of opening up again to this possibility, even though a few months earlier, God had said, let nothing move you. Stay where you are. Don't move. Well, as I was going out the door that morning and heading to our little church, I sensed the Lord speaking to my heart. And he said, if Kenwood is going to call, they're going to call today. And I thought, well, that's a pretty direct word. If they're going to call, they're going to call today. And so as I left the house, I said to my wife, I said to Barb, I said, you know what, sweetheart? I said, I don't know, but I strongly feel if this church is going to call us again, they're going to call today. And I'm glad I actually shared it with her, because she became kind of my proof of listening, I guess, whatever. And so I left for the church, and I never really actually thought about it a whole lot. I just kind of got into my day and started doing my stuff. Anyway, what happened was about 9:30 that morning, and guess what happens? The phone rings in my office. And guess who was on the other end of the line? It was one of the leadership from this church in Kenwood. And they said, and this is what they said. They said, Dave, we know you said no to us before, but we've been going through our list of names, and somehow we feel that the person that is supposed to come to be our new pastor is in this list of names. And we're not quite sure, and we've kind of gone through this list, and I think what had happened is they had been turned down a few number of times, and they somehow felt, and we had turned them down, because God had told us to. God had said, don't move. Let nothing move you. And so we took that as from God. And they said, but somehow we feel that someone in this list is to be our new pastor. And so we thought we'll just start going through the list again. And so we wanted to know, Dave, if there's anything that's changed, is there anything that's different? Would you be even open to reconsider? Well, that was a loaded question. And it rained away. I just about dropped the phone. I couldn't believe, you know, if they're going to call, they're going to call today. And I didn't want to kind of give myself away too much, you know, like, well, you know. But I said, you know what? His name is Ron. I said, I don't know, but I said, I think maybe there is something to this today. There is something that we need to consider here. And so, short story is I kind of opened my heart to the process. I went home and told my wife what had happened. And the reality is the process started. And 3 months later, we were now the new pastors in Kenwood, Saskatchewan. But here's another little part to the story. And for us at the time, it was very significant. During that 4 to 6 months window, especially during this time when we were in that position of let nothing move you, there was a little town up the road from where we lived that began to inquire of our church if we would be willing to help. And we were just a little church plant, but they asked us, they said, would you guys be willing to help us? We want to establish a little ministry on Sunday afternoons in our community, and we don't really have anyone to help us. Would you guys be willing to help us with that? And so what ended up happening was through some conversations during that season, God allowed us, with the help of some people, we put a little team together, and we started sending out a group of people every week to help them plant this little small preaching satellite, this little ministry place where they could actually do ministry in their own community. And it was during that little short 3 to 4 month window that God had us do that. And so it was kind of cool how it was like God says, you know what? I don't want you to move yet because I still got something for you to do. I got some finished business for you, some finished work for you to do. And so we were able to do that during that time. And so God kept us with a kind of a rhema kind of word, a very personal word, let nothing move you. And then he used another word to get us to reconsider. And that was through that, if they're going to call, they're going to call today. And so that was pretty cool. And I was thinking about that story. I've thought about it a few times, how God used stuff like that when it came to direction and so on. Let me share with you, in closing, a word that I felt God strongly gave to us, to my wife and I, and to me personally, this past Wednesday night. As we were in the midst of our practice session here at the church, going through the Hearing God Practicum. One of the assignments, some of you that were involved in it, was to read through Psalm 121. And Psalm 121, so the whole idea of reading was to read it slowly, to read it with an open heart, meditate, listening, asking the Holy Spirit to, you know, if there's something that you want to say to me about this. And for me, though, this is the third or fourth time in this whole series that I had actually gone through this particular psalm, and I'd written things down, and I thought, oh, you know what? I've done this before. There's probably nothing new, you know. Have you ever gone into Scripture and thought, there's probably nothing new here? Has that ever happened to you? Well, that was happening to me, because in probably the last month, I've gone through this like 2 or 3 times, and I felt the rebuke. I felt the Holy Spirit just give me this little rebuke inside. And it was like, you need to pay attention here. You need to listen up. And you've asked all these people in the room to do this assignment. I've got something for you. And so I started reading Psalm 121 with an open heart. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, do you have something for me that you want to show me in this psalm today? And without going into reading the whole psalm here today, it's the psalm where it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, and goes on. And I'm just reading through. And it's as I came to the last verse, because I was reading that up. I got that. Came to the last verse, and it was this. And the Lord will watch over your coming and you're going, both now and forevermore. And I read that, and it was almost like those words, coming and going. It was like it was like neon lights that began flashing. Coming and going. And I knew instantly that God was wanting to say something to me about that. Coming and going, and immediately, it just grabbed my heart. And as Calvin shared earlier here, everyone knows, most of you know, that we are in a time of transition here at CPC. And with transition, for everybody, not just... with transition, there comes anxiety. There's uncertainty. There's questions. We find ourselves wondering about the future and all that kind of stuff. And that's a very human, natural reality. Would you agree with that this morning? It's a very natural thing. And so we feel anxious. We don't know what our future holds exactly. Well, I shouldn't say exactly. We don't know what our future... We know what our current assignment is. But beyond that, we don't know. Honestly, we don't know. We don't know what it is. And you don't know. Calvin and the search, they don't know. But the word was this. It was very clear to me. And focusing on the comings and the goings. And it was like God said, you know what, Dave? Just as I was faithful to you almost 20 years ago, when you were in this time of change and transition where it was about you were getting ready to come to the Comox Valley, was I not with you? Was I not with Comox Pentecostal Church in that time? Because, you know, 20 years ago, this church was in a time of transition then, and you were praying, and some of you were there. I look at Karen Beidle and others, Carl and Elvie, I see people who, you guys were very much in the trenches of anticipating the next season. And God reminded me that wasn't I not with you during that time of coming? Was I not with CPC? Was I not with you, Dave and Barb, in that time of coming? And some of you know the story when we first arrived. I felt very anxious. I thought, I can't do this. I felt very weak and all that kind of stuff, and I want to get into all that today. But the reality is God was with us in the coming. And then I saw that word going. And it was, again, the Holy Spirit. I heard his voice saying, and will I not, just as I was with you in your comings, will I not be with you in your goings? And as we go, will I not be with you? And as you as a church, as a congregation, experience the implications of our going? Because that's the reality. That's why we have a search committee. That's why we have all this stuff in place. Because the reality is of our goings at some point down the road. And the word of God very clear was, I will watch over you. I will watch over you in your comings and your goings. Right now, God is preparing someone to come. How many are thankful for that this morning? God is preparing someone. He's a good God. He's a good God. And it's the Rhema word, oftentimes, that fills us with hope. I walked out of that our practice session on Wednesday night, and I was so glad God gave me that experience because I walked out of there with incredible hope. Hope for us as a family, for my wife and I. Hope for our church. Hope for you. Assurance. Rhema words give us hope. Give us assurance. Give us confidence as we go forward together. The interesting thing is in that same psalm, God was speaking to my wife, and she only had one word, and it was the word, the Lord watches over you. And the reality is five times in eight verses that those words are repeated. The Lord watches over you. The Lord watches over you. And so as I'm sharing my story, she shared it around her table. She said, this is the word the Lord really spoke to my heart, was the Lord watches over you. And I wanted to share that with you this morning as a congregation because I believe it's an encouraging word, not just for us, but it's an encouraging word for you. It's an encouraging word for you that God has all of this completely in his hands. And we've gone over time, and we want to get into communion this morning. It's a really important time. So I'm going to ask our worship team if they would come as we close this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And the song that our team is going to lead us in closing with is a little song, "Oh Come to the Altar." And the reality is, when it comes to communion, just quickly shifting gears here, is that God is a personal God. Amen? A God who speaks to us. A God who wants to have a relationship with us. And a God who has made it possible for every one of us to be able to come into his family. And the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that if there's anyone here and you have not given your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ, we're talking about hearing God. The greatest voice that you can hear is when God says, "I want you to come to me. I want you to come into my family." And Jesus has made that way possible for us. God has demonstrated his love. Talk about pictures. God has demonstrated his love for us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Logos, the Word who became flesh, who came and died on a cross, the Word that Claire and Cassie, you get to take to the schools. You become the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Where you go, you become the Logos to those communities. And so how many are thankful this morning that Jesus has given us his life so that we could have a personal, not a distant, relationship with God? It's a universal call. And even this invitation to come to the altar, come and receive, come experience his grace and forgiveness. Maybe today, right now, some of you are just feeling very distant and far away. God is calling you home this morning. God is calling you, saying, come, come. As we leave this morning, this personal God dwells within you. Amen? This personal God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. And this week, you have the opportunity to take this personal God and be the embodiment of Jesus Christ, God in flesh, through God's Spirit within you, to the Comox Valley. I've said this before, the Comox Valley needs you. The Comox Valley needs you more than just us showing up on a Sunday morning. We need to come together so that we can be recommissioned to go back out there and be the person, take that personal God into your workplace, into your schools, into your business, into your families, into the military base, wherever God takes you. That we take this personal God, and I want to encourage you again. Let's let hearing his voice become a way of life. I started with that word at the beginning. Hearing God, let it become a way of life. And so we just want to bless you, release you. Go in the name of Jesus. Amen? Go with his power. Go with his authority. And let God use you. Hear his voice this week as you go out. And amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.